Welcome back to the Teach for the Heart podcast, where we tackle teaching challenges from a biblical perspective. Why are we here? Because we don't believe that our spiritual walk and teaching profession should exist in two separate domains. Rather, the hope we have in Christ should change how we approach everything, not just at home, but at school as well. So join us as we explore both the spiritual and practical sides of key teaching challenges, integrating them together so we can succeed at teaching, glorify God, and make a lasting difference in our students' hearts and lives. This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation, and I'm excited today to bring you a conversation with Caitlin Moore about how to add joy and play into your classroom. Now, when I first heard this topic, I thought, man, this applies to elementary. But no, this absolutely applies across all grade levels. And as you'll discover, Caitlin actually teaches middle school and high school. So no matter what you teach, I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation about how to bring play and joy into our classroom and also why that matters and why it helps with a lot of the challenges that we're actually seeing in our post-pandemic classrooms. So I can't wait for you to listen to this conversation. Here it is. I'm so excited to be talking with Caitlin Lohr today. We're going to be talking about how to bring joy and play into any classroom. Caitlin, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thanks, Linda. I'm really excited to be here.
Before we dive into our topic, can you share just a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes. So I am currently a high school teacher in Lincoln, Illinois. I teach high school English and creative writing, mostly seniors, but I've taught freshmen, sophomores, and juniors in my time teaching. This is my 10th year, and I started my career actually as a junior high teacher. I taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade ELA.
Awesome. I love to hear about that variety of your teaching experience. And for those of you that are listening, when I first thought about this topic, my thoughts went almost immediately to younger children. So I hope you're as intrigued as I am to hear about what joy and play can look like for any age, including middle school and high school. So let's kind of dive in. This might seem like a little bit of an obvious question, but why do you think joy is important in the classroom?
Sure. I sort of feel like this is a loaded question nowadays. I think joy is so important because the world is hard in so many ways. And that could be a whole episode in itself, right? We could talk about that forever. But kids deal with a lot today, students do, and especially in this kind of post-pandemic era, school has changed, the world has changed, we've changed, and so joy, I think, combats a lot of the struggles society, people have, and it's an important element in the classroom because it's a way to fight the heart, right? It's a way to say, no, we're not going to let this stuff kind of rule our life. We're gonna find the joy and live for that.
I love that. You know, and as believers, of course, we know joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So, right, yes. Anytime that we can bring any element of that into our classroom, mm-hmm. that's going to be, you know, in alignment with what the Spirit would have.
Absolutely.
So if we know, yes, I want to bring joy, you know, the classroom is dark, or, you know, even just, you know, those are differing levels of that. But we mm-hmm. all experience that on some level of just like, or sometimes it just can feel so mechanical or like we're just, you know, head down the whole time. Let's talk a little bit. I know you have so many different things you've done. What do you think it looks like to embrace and prioritize play? How does that cultivate joy in the classroom?
Well, play is something for me particularly that brings me back to childhood, right? When we're children, especially, that's so much of who we are. We hope it is. I think, again, today, kind of with society and the shifting and so much more technology and digital things, we're kind of losing a little bit of play. And so that is an aspect of in the classroom, we're so focused on testing and standards and all of these things that we forget about the play, but we absolutely need it because it's play. I think innate, it's joy, right? When we're playing, we're joyful, we're happy. We're kind of in these worlds, or at least I was always as a kid, lost in my imagination. And so bringing that into the classroom, they're kind of synonymous to me. I feel like joy and play really, really go together.
Yes. Okay. So I'm really excited to hear some of your thoughts on what this actually looks like, because I'll be honest, this is not an area I've thought about a lot. You know, it's like, okay, we got to get our work done. Like, what does that even look like to bring in play? Obviously, you're not saying we're not learning anything today. That's not at all what you're saying. So can you give us some ideas of like what this might look like, or some ways that you incorporate play in your class?
Sure. One of the biggest ways I incorporate play is with what I call Dear Days. This is kind of a throwback to my own childhood when I had, it was my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Pickett. We celebrated Dear Days, and it stands for Drop Everything and Read. And it was usually correlated, I think it was kind of more of a, I don't know if it was completely national thing, but it was often associated, I believe, around Beverly Cleary's birthday. And it was just this idea of, let's drop everything today and just read and enjoy the day. And so I was like, okay, as an English teacher, yes, I am here for that. My students, not always so much. So I've sort of changed the acronym to be Drop Everything and Relax. And so I try to once a month, usually it's after we finish a unit, right? We've been hard at work. We've been doing all of these things. And so it's time for a little bit of a celebration and this drop everything and relax day. And so for me, it involves no screens, because it's time to kind of turn away from those. And I have board games in my classroom. I have a Lego station. I have arts and crafts. I have coloring books for the kids who want to read. I'm all for that. They can do that. And so it's just a chance where we get to drop everything and just relax. And for some kids, you know, it's the playing the games, it's connecting. For others, it is pulling that book open and reading. But then as the teacher, I try to do that too. And so I'm not just standing up there grading or working on things. I am sitting and playing games with my students, or I'm building Lego and just having this kind of community with them. And that's kind of like the big way, I think, and an easy way for a lot of teachers to be able to kind of pull that in, because it's not curriculum based, right? We can sprinkle this in here or there. Maybe like I said, usually for us, it's when we finished up a big unit, or there have been times in the past where we've had a hard week or something has happened, like in our community at our school, and I can see like the joy is dwindling in my students, and we kind of need this day to just step back from the pressures of learning, the pressures of school, and kind of call up on that childhood nature of play again.
That's so interesting. Okay, I'm going to ask like a pushback question, not because I want to push back, but I know there's like some teachers, and I feel like I fall in this category, that's just like, can I really take like a whole period and not do any learning objectives? Like, you know, some kids aren't going to read. They're just literally just going to play. What would you say are the benefits that you see? Like, why do you feel like, yes, this is worth it, even if we're not getting anything done this day? Like, do you notice a difference then in the coming days, or in students' abilities to persevere until that day? Like, what do you notice for that, with that?
Yeah. Oh, I 100% believe it's worth it. And I see the change in my students, right? Because especially, as I said earlier, I teach mostly seniors. And so there's a lot of pressure on them for grades and colleges and all of these things this year, that they're so focused on this. And a lot of them work as well. So like when we're talking about older students, they've got so much going on in activities, and they just don't have this time to be kids and to kind of play. And so I think taking that day allows them an opportunity to step away from, like I said, the pressures of school and be a kid again. And it's therapeutic. It's relaxing. I think it can help them feel safe, because you're building community, right, in your classroom too. Because if I am there mingling with my students and playing the games, like, I'm showing them the importance of, it's okay to take a break from some of this stuff and just kind of live and enjoy life and find some joy. And so I do see a renewed sense in them. like when we come back the next week and, you know, we're diving into our next unit, it just feels like they've had a breath of fresh air. They've had time to kind of breathe. So it's not moving from one thing to the other. They have this opportunity then to, not that I pushed it aside, but like we finished this, we've had a break. Now we're renewed to start something new. And I think that that's also teaching them good routines for life as well. And right. It's so life skills, we can pull that in. I'm sure we could find a standard or something for that if we had to.
Yeah, that's so helpful though, to just think through that. And you're right. You're modeling a lot of things there. You're modeling Sabbath, really, like that, you know, that balance of like, and I would imagine then that it's like, I'm really expecting you to work hard when it's time to work. And then we're going to, you know, kind of have our times of rest. You're modeling celebration too. Like, you know, the idea of like taking time to pause and, you know, kind of celebrate what you finished. And then of course the play and the joy and the break. Yeah. That does make a lot of sense. And of course, you're not doing this every day, right? It's strategic. And I would imagine, do you always do it for a whole period? Or like if a teacher's like, I really don't think I can take a whole period, is there any benefit to taking 10 minutes, 20 minutes? Would you have any suggestions there?
Oh, absolutely. I do always do it for a full period in mine, but the way I kind of design my curriculum and my units, I actually build these in as like, this is the unit ender. This is going to be what we do to celebrate, to move forward. Because I'm a big believer in celebrating our work that we've done too. So that's kind of another little way I bring in some joy in the classroom, is celebrating all of these things we've done. But I absolutely think you could take some time, you know, maybe like the last 10 minutes on a Friday, or you know, the first 10 minutes of a Monday, to kind of, you know, if they have all that, you know, to wake them up maybe, or something like that, or the end of the period, end of the day. Sometimes my students are so wired, it's hard to get them focused. And so something like that, just stepping out a little bit, gives them a chance, I think, to kind of reset. It's kind of like a brain break, but it's a brain break for play. And I think, I teach a lot more older kids, so I know like younger kids need a lot more kind of movement and those sort of brain breaks in the classroom. But I also think older kids need a lot of that too. Like we kind of stop some of that once they get to a certain point. I'm like, no, older kids need these things too. So,
yeah. Well, that's a really interesting idea, and it's a great one, I think, to think about and to consider and to, you know, I do think there sometimes this is a way of thinking of like taking a day. It's almost like a wasted day, but it's not. It's not if it's used intentionally. It's not if you put it there and said, no, we're doing this intentionally. It's part of the plan. The curriculum fits around it. And that forces you to be strategic and, you know, make sure your curriculum fits. But I love that. I love that you're like, nope, it's in there. It's in the plan. It's part of the plan. I think that's really, really neat. Can you share some – oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also think it's – also, you know, like I said, I try to stay away from screens. So it's not just okay, you can go be on your phones or you can play games on your Chromebooks, right? I'm strategic in what we do. So we have Legos, which are creative, but also working critical skills. I have a chess set and checkers. Like we have these games that they're using, they're engaging their brains. And so it's not just mindless play or mindless scrolling on things. For me, it's very important that it's tangible and kinesthetic, so that they are using their hands. They're kind of getting out of their brains and using their hands to do this, because it's a different way of kind of using those creative and critical skills as well. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. And depending on what you teach, you could even really be choosy in which games you choose. You know, math. I'm the math teacher, so you know, there's plenty, you know, things that kind of use some skills, but it's fun and exciting, and you know, science. Yeah, you're right. You can choose things that you really want them to engage with. And just as you said that, I was like, yes, just for older kids, that benefit of having time away from the screen is really just such a lost art, and bringing that in, relaxing without a screen. Yeah, that is really, really a life skill for sure.
Yes, it is.
This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. And one of the things the Herzog Foundation is seeking to do is to help create new Christian schools and homeschool co-ops. So if you have ever considered starting your own school or even just wish that that was a possibility, I encourage you to check out the resources available for free with Schoolbox. With Schoolbox, you can get free access to resources, courses, and if you're serious, even a mentor. So find out more and sign up at hfschoolbox.com. That's hfschoolbox.com. Now back to the conversation. All right. This is such an interesting idea. What are some other ways that you keep joy and playfulness in the classroom? You mentioned celebrations. What else? Or if you want to expound on that.
Yeah. So for celebrations, I love to celebrate just finishing things. So I'm a very creative teacher. So we do lots of projects and fun things. And I teach a creative writing class. And after every writing project we do in my creative writing class, we always have some sort of celebration, whether it's a gallery walk and their projects are laid out so students can walk around and mingle and read and enjoy, or we sit around in a circle and everybody gets to pick their favorite part and read it around. I think the act of sharing work is also a way of celebrating because we can acknowledge and honor what everyone's done. And sometimes that doesn't even have to be at the end of a project. If you're doing something with students and you're working and doing some sort of writing, whether it's creative or more analytical nature, just at the end of the hour, take a few minutes and ask students to share their favorite line or favorite thing. And this act of giving them snaps or applause to celebrate the work they've done. And I think that helps students understand, right, yes, I'm here in school and doing this, but, oh, hey, I'm sharing it. And it's more than just for an assignment sort of thing. So celebrations are big. I celebrate lots of at the end of projects. I also really love to do room transformations for, the beginning of units. So I might hit up, the dollar store or kind of look into my holiday bins. What have I got that I can bring into my classroom? And so for instance, in my senior English class, we study Edgar Allan Poe and do some spooky month stuff. And so usually at the beginning of October, I decorate my room kind of overnight. So when they come in the next morning, there are the little flickering candles and cheap black tablecloths. And I turn the lights down. And it's just this idea. They walk in and they're like, whoa. Okay, it's not just a classroom, right? We're going to have this transformation of something, and it kind of immerses them in the experience of what we're doing. I have a Hobbit party before we read The Hobbit in my fantasy class, and I bring in cupcakes, and we get to kind of walk around and do some fun trivia. So again, it's education-based, but it's this fun party and, green tablecloths and things like that. And it's the small things, but the kids really, for them, it's watching their faces light up and realize it's not just a classroom that I have to come and learn stuff. I get to have fun while learning about stuff. And that's kind of important to me in my teaching.
Yes. And I hope that you guys that are listening, so many ideas for if you teach English and literature that ties in so well. But if you teach something different, just kind of latching on this idea that I know some of you, this comes naturally to you. You've the fun and the play. But I think for some of us, it's we're so so task oriented. But just asking ourselves, what would make it fun? And some of these, some of the things you said do take time, but some don't. Some are just simple and easy, and just saying, what can I do to bring in that playfulness, that fun into the classroom, making it an enjoyable, as an enjoyable experience as I can. And I love the celebrations because not only is that fun, but that it's also motivating. You're hitting on some of those beliefs. You're showing them, hey, your hard work paid off. Your effort produced a result. And that's really encouraging in that way as well. So you're hitting on a lot of things, yes. As you're doing that. That's so neat.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these strategies. Do you have any final tips or advice for us as we think about this?
Yeah. I was going to say, I think too, don't be afraid to lean in to who you are as a teacher, right? Mm. I am 100% a nerd. I'm the quintessential English teacher. I'm a big fan of Harry Potter. And so my classroom is decorated in Harry Potter. And it has been for most of my teaching. I knew my junior hires would probably love it. I didn't think my high school kids would love it. And so like I slowly brought in things a little bit at a time, and they absolutely love it. I teach, you know, 17 and 18 year olds. I sort my kids into Hogwarts houses every year, and it becomes this really friendly competition, and they eat it up. And so I think that's part of like the active play and joy. Like, what makes you joyful? Mm. What makes you feel joy as a teacher? When you share that with others, they're going to see your joy, and that's going to bring joy in them, right? And I think that's part of as believers with Christ, right, is sharing that, the gospel and the joy with others. And so we're all made in our own way. And the things that make us light up, I think when people see that, especially our students see that in us, then they feel comfortable in who they are and what brings them joy. And you'd be really surprised at then how many of them might actually love something you enjoy, right? Or the students that are like, you have Lego in here? And I was like, I actually build it at home. And they're like, whoa, you know, they love this sort of thing. And so just the act of embracing what you love. And if you bring that into the classroom, I think that's the easiest way to bring that joy and kind of aspect of play into teaching.
Oh, that's such good advice. What do I enjoy? What things do I love? And how can I share that? That I have so many ideas sparking in my mind right now. And I will say, for those of you that are listening, we would love to hear your ideas of things that you've done, or even just ideas that you are kind of interested in trying. So you can head over to the blog post that goes with this episode at teachfortheheart.com/303 and just go ahead and share your thoughts in the comments. We'd love to kind of see that list grow with additional ideas from you guys. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for being here. Before we go, is there any way, do you have any other things that you'd like to share with us, ways to connect with you? Or I believe you might even have some books. Is that true?
Not yet.
Yeah, okay.
One day, I hope
in
so.
The works.
So, yes, in the works. So I am, yes, a writer in the other part of my life. I like to say that my day job is teaching, my night job is writing. So, but you can find me on Instagram at Caitlin_Lore. And then I also have a website. It's CaitlinLore.com. So I write over on Substack, but all of those links you can find kind of in those profiles. So I don't often share a lot about teaching online, but I love connecting with teachers and just talking about teaching and how to bring joy into the classroom.
Oh, that's so awesome. We'll connect to those if you'd like to connect a little more with Caitlin and share what you're doing in your classroom. Thank you again so much, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation, that it's got you thinking. And once again, I would love to hear your thoughts. And if you want any of the notes and links from this episode, you can find all of that at teachfortheheart.com/303. And please do leave us a comment there in the comments about how you use joy and play in your classroom. Or if you have any questions, you can leave them there as well. Before we go, I want to also tell you about one of our programs. If you're not familiar with it, it is called Reclaim Your Time 101. And if you're finding a lack of joy because you are just overwhelmed with all of the things that there are to do, I encourage you to check out Reclaim Your Time 101. You can get all the details at teachfortheheart.com/reclaim. Well, thank you again so much for being here. This episode has been brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. Of course, all the views and opinions are our own and do not necessarily reflect those of the Herzog Foundation. I can't wait to speak with you again next week. In the meantime, remember, teacher, God is at work in you and through you, and He's using you to make a difference. Keep your eyes on Him and teach for the heart.